Welcome to Working the Word with Jonathan Vorse. Join us now for service already in progress at Lakewood Church of God.
Today, I want to talk to you about our daily walk. Nothing reignites the fire of God inside of us than a daily encounter with God. Nothing will ignite the fire of God inside of us any quicker than a daily encounter with God. God is realigning our focus to New Testament mentality. Now, when I say our, I'm talking about the church world as a whole. I think one of the greatest successes of the enemy against the church today is to get the church thinking in weekly and monthly patterns. Well, I've got to go to church on Sunday, so I'm going to work all week and I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Living for God as a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ is a daily exercise. It's a daily exercise. Now, here's the question I want to ask you, okay? Why do we need a daily walk with God? You can tell me, it's right there. Because the devil fights us every day. That's why we need a daily walk with God. So this mentality that the enemy has thrown against us about trying to get us to think weekly and to think monthly, or maybe I'll just go to church, really I only need to go to church a couple of times a month or whatever, that whole entire mentality is something that was propagated by the enemy as an affront against your daily walk with God. Listen, I hope you don't come to church on Sunday to try to get your weekly faith shot. I hope you come to reconnect with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope you come to receive from the Lord. And I hope you come to encourage one another in the Lord. And I hope it's a blessing to you throughout the week. But listen, I cannot possibly stand up here as your pastor and in 30 minutes give you everything spiritually that you will need all week long. You need a daily walk with God. You need a daily encounter with God in order for the fire of God and the blessing of God to be ignited inside of you. Now in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 11, we find where the Bible said that Jesus had a habit of going daily to the temple. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible said, "Give us this day our daily bread." In Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 55, we see once again where Jesus was daily at the temple. Matthew 26 and 55. Let's read it here. The Bible says, "In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, 'Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staffs for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me.'" He said, "I was there every single day." In Mark chapter 14, and verse number 49, here's what the Bible says. Mark chapter 14 and 49. Jesus was speaking and he said, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." And then in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 47, we find where Jesus once again talks about being daily in the temple. So Jesus had a habit of being in the temple every single day. Now, some people say, "Well, I just don't know that I have the time to do that." You don't have the time not to involve God in your life every single day. Every single day. Walking with God is a daily exercise. It's something that we need to do every single day. It was David, it was King David. The Bible said that one thing have I desired of the Lord and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Listen to this, all the days of my life, every single day of my life. He said, that is my heart's desire. That's what I want to do. I want to dwell in the temple all the days of my life. I don't think anyone in this place is any busier than King David was. King David was actually running a nation. So he was very busy, but he had this desire. He said, "I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be in the presence of God. I want God to be a part of my life." Now, If we go to the book of Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, let's go there. Get your Bibles now, come on. Let's do this. Acts chapter 2. And I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the disciples. The disciples, the Bible said, continued this practice after Pentecost. So in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, here's what the Bible says. And they continuing, what?
Daily
with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, the problem with the church today is that people want to experience the daily blessing without paying the daily price. Oh, I want God to move. I want to see people saved every single day. I want to see people experience God every single day. I want to experience the power of God, the presence of God, the grace of God, the glory of God in my heart and in my life every single day. But they don't pray every day. They're not in the Word every day. They're not fellowshipping with one another every day. They're not finding a reason to sit down and watch something besides whatever they watch on television. They say, I don't have the time, but they have the time for 2 or 3 hours in the evening to sit there and watch whatever they want to watch on television. Come on, I'm preaching to you this morning. Listen, I'm passionate about you having a closer walk with God. I'm passionate about you growing in God. I want to see revival fires be reignited in you. You see, you got to get to the point where you start making God a priority in your life again. Everything else is more important than God. It's more important to go to work. It's more important to go work out. I know, I've got the feeling. I understand that. It's more important to go work out. It's more important to go shopping. It's more important to go down and have a cup of coffee with my friends. It's more important to go to the ice cream parlor. It's more important to go watch whatever. I mean, it's more, I've got to watch this. I can't miss my show. DVR it. Do whatever you got to do. Do whatever you got to do. Spend some time with the Lord. Make God a number one priority. He should be number one on your list for the rest of your life, every single day of the rest of your life. Now, the Bible said that the disciples did this every single day. And then in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42, we find it again. Acts 5 and verse number 42. The Bible says, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. And verse number 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So every single day in the temple and in their house, they sought to teach, which is an exercise in information and understanding, and to preach, which is the proclamation under the unction of the Holy Spirit of the power, the presence, the glory of God. Every single day, not just Sunday, and not just Wednesday, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, all along, every single day, they were meeting together, they were teaching one another, they were listening to preaching and preaching to one another, they were encouraging one another, they were lifting one another up, and look at the results in Acts. In Acts chapter 16 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and so were the churches established in the faith, and they increased in number day after day. So what does a daily walk with God do for me? When I say, Lord, I'm going to make the commitment to make you number one in my life. Lord, I'm not going to make a decision without involving you. Lord, I'm not going to schedule anything until I have you in my schedule. What does that do for me? The Bible says right here that establishes us in the faith and increases us every single day. So, let's talk about our daily walk. I've shown you where Jesus was addicted to the temple every single day. I've shown you where after he ascended into heaven that the disciples, the Bible said, continued daily in the temple and in their houses every single day, teaching one another, preaching to one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, praying for one another, being a blessing to one another. So now let's talk about our daily walk. If we're going to continue that pattern, then what do we need to do? The Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 11, Jesus was teaching the disciples, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, we find what we call the Lord's Prayer, or I call it the disciples' prayer, and we don't have time really to go all the way through that this morning. I've preached an entire series on this. But the Bible said it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So you recognize the holiness of God. You recognize the parenting of God, the fact that He is your Father, that He is Abba, and you pray and you cry out to God and you say, Your kingdom come, Your will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And then verse number 3, we cry out to the Lord and we say, Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive one another that is indebted to us. He's telling us, pray this every day. Every single day, recognize me as your Father. Every single day, recognize that I am holy. Every single day, pray that my kingdom would come and that my will would be done. Every single day, petition me and say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread and forgive our debts as we also forgive those that are indebted to us. And Lord, don't allow us to be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so we go on and we just continue to read down through there, all the way down through there, and we find out that it is the command of God that we do this every single day. This is the pattern of prayer. You say, well, I just don't have time to do that. Then you need to rearrange your schedule. You know me, I shoot it from the hip. I don't mince words. That's why some of you are here and that's why some people aren't. It's just the way that it is. Listen, I care too much about you to let you go to hell trying to pet you on the way there. I'm going to teach you what the Word of God says. You need to pray every single day. And if you say, I don't have time, then you need to rearrange your schedule and you need to make time for God. You need to make time to pray every single day. And so part of our becoming a fully developing follower of Jesus Christ, which is the definition of a disciple, and living in the grace of God and the blessing of God upon our life, experiencing God's favor upon our life, is that we pay attention to the things that we need to do every single day. Now, I'm getting ready to talk to you about something here that if you're doing it, you're going to say, praise the Lord, and if you're not, you're probably going to get a little bit aggravated, but that's okay. You need to give every day. You need to give every day. Look at your neighbor and say, I should be giving every single day in the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about coming to the church and dropping something off every day, but I'm talking about have a spirit of giving. Have a heart to give. Find a need and feel it. See a tear and heal it. See who you can bless that day. Get up in the morning instead of praying prayers like, Lord, I pray that you would bless me today. Why don't you start praying prayers like, Lord, send someone along my path that I can be a blessing to today. One of the things that I have learned to do that I like to do, I don't do it every time, but I enjoy doing it. Sometimes I'll sit down for lunch or something or go and the waitress will come up and I'll look at that waitress and sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing to those that are with me and so every now and then I don't do it because I don't want to embarrass them. But sometimes I'll look at that waitress and I'll say, you know something? We're getting ready to pray over our meal. Is there anything that I can pray for you for while I'm praying over my meal? You would be surprised at the reactions that you get from these people. Some of them's like, nope, I'm good. You know. There's others, big old tears well up in their eyes, and they probably haven't had anyone ask them, is there anything I can pray with you about? Probably for weeks or months or maybe even years. And you just look at them and you say, is there something that I can pray with you about now? And when they say yes, that doesn't mean that you break out the holy oil and put the, you know, Father, right now in the name. No, it doesn't mean that. No. You just say, well, you go right ahead and do what you need to do. And I just want you to know that while you're doing what you need to do, and when you see us praying over our meal, that we're mentioning your name. We're praying for you. That's one of the ways that you can give. There are just so many different ways that you can give. You can be at Dunkin' Donuts getting your coffee, and you can be in the drive-thru, and you can ask the person at the drive-thru window, how much was the bill for the person behind me? And they will tell you. And you can say, I want to buy their coffee today. And when they get up here, tell them, it doesn't matter who I am, just tell them that the Lord loves them. You're being a blessing. You're being a blessing. You're learning how to be a blessing. You say, well, I need some scriptural precedent for that. Well, in Exodus chapter 36, I didn't think he was ever going to ask. I'm so glad you did. Exodus chapter 36, here's what the Bible says. Then wrought Bezalel, and they were talking about gathering money together to build the new sanctuary, to build the temple. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. This is verse 2. Even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. So he called people whose heart was stirred up for it. Verse number 3. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. They were building a sanctuary unto the Lord. And the church, the people, were bringing offerings every single morning to get the job done. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And so that not only were they receiving the offerings to buy the materials, but they were receiving the labor from the people, the wise people that knew how to do it. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. They were giving every single day to get the job done. And the Bible says here in verse number 6 that men and women were out there and were actually doing extra jobs. They were working and bringing the money to get it done. And it got to the point where they had everything they needed and more. And Moses had to finally stand up and say, just stop. We've got everything that we need. We're going to get this done. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. The blessing of the Lord is going to be upon it. And I'm restraining you now. Don't do it anymore. Verse number 7, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it and too much. I look forward to the day that I can stand up here and say, quit. We're okay. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Well, how did that happen? The Bible said that the people gave an offering every single morning. Every day, they got in that pattern of giving. I want to encourage you to do something. Our pastor taught us this several years ago. Many years ago. And he's the one that taught us seed time and harvest. And here's what he taught us. He said, if you want to believe God to bless you every day, then you need to start sowing every day. And he told us, he said, I don't give into the local church every day. He said, but I'm putting money in the mail every single day to different ministries around the world. Sometimes it's a dollar, sometimes it's $5, sometimes it's a lot more than that. But the point is, I want to get to the point where I am not broke another day in my life. And he said, the only way that I can get to that point is to give every single day. I want to encourage you. I'm going to give you some things to think about here. I can't command you to do anything. I'm your leader. I'm your pastor. But I can teach you. I want to encourage you. Pray about some type of ministry in Israel that you can support personally. Well, how come? How come? Because the Bible said that His blessings are upon those who bless His people. Bless Israel. Think and pray about a missionary maybe that you can support. Did you know there are things that you can do for missionaries that you take for granted? Did you know you could buy a goat for a missionary and it would literally change their entire family? Did you know that if we bought two pigs, I'm just giving you examples, but if we bought two pigs, a boar and a sow, is that what you call them? The man and the woman, pig? Okay, all right. If we bought two pigs for Bishop Johnson over in Jamaica, he could get his meat market started. That's all it would take is two pigs. And he wouldn't take those two pigs and eat them. He would take them and breed them and have piglet after piglet after piglet after piglet. And before long, he would be doing something that is rampant in that nation, and that's pig farming. We could make that difference. There was a minister from India that contacted me the other day. I think his name was Arjub or something like that. He sent me all kinds of pictures. He's traveling in the northern isolated areas of India, carrying video equipment, showing the Jesus film in little isolated communities that have never heard of Jesus. And he's winning thousands of people to Jesus. He showed me what he was carrying. He was walking 13 miles, 15 miles, 20 miles, carrying all this stuff up into the mountains to show the Jesus film for one night and then carrying it back down. And his question to me, was there any way in the world that we could spend $1,200 and get him a motorbike? And you know why? Not so he could get up and down quicker because he wanted to rest more. He wanted to get more towns in. He wanted to do more. So what I'm telling you is, some people say, well, I just don't know where to go, and I just don't know what to do, and I don't understand this concept of daily giving. Listen, daily giving is part of living for the Lord every single day of your life. You are literally living in the most wealthy nation in the face of the world. Even our poor people are rich. And I think that we have a stewardship responsibility from the Lord to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world by any means possible. And if that means buying a couple of hogs, we need to take a collection and buy a couple hogs. And if that means buying a motorbike, we need to take a collection and buy a motorbike. We did that for Pakistan, remember? Remember when Bishop Jonathan Ramont was here? He sent me pictures of the motorbike. I put them up there on the screen, and it made a difference in that pastor's life. We got to learn how to give daily. If we're going to receive from the Lord every single day, then we're going to have to learn how to give something every single day. Okay, I'll get off of it. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're talking about our daily walk with the Lord, overcoming daily persecution. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8, here's what the Bible says. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Wow. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. And so, so he says that in verse 10, and then he turns around and he clarifies it in verse number 11. He says, when he says manifest in the body, and then verse number 11, he felt the need to talk and say that it would be manifest literally in your mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So one of the things that we can expect when we walk daily with the Lord, one of the things that we can expect when we pray every day, one of the things we can expect when we're in the Word every day, and especially when we give every day, is we can expect people not to understand. And some of them will find fault, and some of them will criticize, and some of them will persecute, and some of them will do everything in the world that they can to try to discourage you from doing what you know that you need to do for the Lord. I just want to encourage you this morning that your daily persecution is nothing compared to the daily persecution of the early church. Now let me say it like this. Your daily persecution is nothing compared to those that are over in the Muslim countries today. Your brothers and your sisters are being slain for what you are able to sit here and listen to without fear this morning. Persecution happens every single day. And just because it hasn't reached the streets of America yet doesn't mean that it won't. And just because it hasn't reached here yet doesn't give us a pass on praying for those who are enduring that kind of persecution. So I want to encourage you that every single day when persecution comes, to pray. In 1 Peter chapter 4, there's some more about this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Here's what the Bible says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And then the fourth thing, the last thing that I want to talk to you about, our daily walk, and then we'll talk a little bit about the practical application to be done. But the fourth thing I want to talk to you about is that we need to encourage one another every single day. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I have a stewardship responsibility and a spiritual mandate to exhort you every day, to do something to try to encourage you. Not pull you down, not defeat you, not destroy you, not find fault with you. My spiritual mandate is to encourage you, to lift you up, to instruct you. Your spiritual mandate is to encourage those that are around you, to minister to them, to lift them up, to be a blessing to them, to be a light to them. The critical spirit that has come into the church will be the death of the church if the church doesn't overcome it and slay it. How do we do that? It's awful hard to curse someone when blessing is coming out of your mouth. It's awful hard to find fault with someone when you're praying for someone. You just reach out and you just pray and you say, Lord, you know what? I may not understand them. I may not understand what they're going through. I may not understand the decisions that they're making, but God, they're your child and I love them and I'm thankful. I celebrate their life. I celebrate the opportunity that we have to worship together and to serve God together and to love one another. And Father, I just give you praise and I give you honor and I give you glory. Lord, I even pray for my enemies, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bless my enemies, God, that you would encourage my enemies, God, that you would lift my enemies up. I told my wife the other day, I told her, I said, you know, I said, people just need to learn to let things go. Just let it go. Who cares? Who cares? Just let things go. Just forgive and love and encourage and strengthen and bless and be an encouragement to one another. I'll tell you what, it takes a whole lot more energy to hate than it does to love. Lord, help me not get in trouble here. Hatred comes from the law. You were redeemed from the law. You were redeemed from the 613 laws of the old Mosaic law. And you were set free from them by the grace of God, by Calvary. Jesus finished all of that. He fulfilled it. He satisfied the 1613 laws of the Old Testament. In its place, he gave us one command. 613 opposed to one. What is the one command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so his command is love. That's what his command is. Why? Because love is more powerful than the entire law. Love is more powerful than anything anyone can do against you. It's more powerful. So we can be filled with vitriol, we can be filled with hatred, we can be filled with all of these kinds of things, or we can start saying, Lord, I'm just going to pray for them every single day. If you want to let it go, pray for them every day. Lord, I pray for them every single day. Lord, I just pray, God, and just put in the name. Lord, I pray for this person. God, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, I pray you would bless them, Lord Jesus. And when you see them, now listen to me very closely. Now, when you see them, you have prayed. You have forgiven. You have prayed. You have given it to the Lord. You've said, Lord, I'm giving this to you. And you've done that, okay? Now, the next time that you see them, sometimes that will come up inside of you. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. So here's what you need to do. You need to say, you know what? I already forgave them. I'm loose from that. And so you just look at them and say, well, God bless you. How are you doing? It's so good to see you. It's so good to see you. God bless you. And before you know it, you'll get to the point where you're just living in victory. You've overcome it. And they're way back there somewhere. And God has accelerated you into your destiny to receive everything that you need from the Lord. You got to forgive them. So you encourage one another, you lift one another up, you strengthen one another, you bless one another. Now let's look a little bit about the practical application of this. Living for Jesus is not just a Sunday go-to-meeting ritual, it's a daily discipline. And it's the only way that we can grow and be functional in God's kingdom. That's how we make God number one. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, God's number one. Number one, not number two, not number three, not four, five, six, or seven. He's number one. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God is number one. Now, as time goes on, I keep hearing, especially in this generation that's coming up, and I have to correct them all of the time. And I know they sometimes love me for it and sometimes hate me for it. But it's just the truth. I love them too much to let them go down this track. As time goes on, more and more I'm hearing things like, well, there has to be a balance. My response is, what does that even mean? This is God we're talking about. We don't categorize God. You can't just take God and say, okay, well, you know, my life has to be in a balance, and so there's got to be a balance, and so I'm going to take God, and I'm going to fit him in right here. No, 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 no. He's either God of all, or he's not God at all. This God we're talking about. We're not talking about your job. We're not talking about your spouse. We're not talking about your children. We're not talking about your neighbors. We're not talking about your family. We're not talking about your coworkers. We're talking about God. This is God. You don't balance God. Now, there needs to be a balance in all the other areas of your life, but when it comes to God, he doesn't fit into that equation. He's either God of all or he's not God at all of your life. And so it bothers me when I hear, especially our young people, make statements like that. Well, there has to be a balance. And I'm like, what's that even mean? Huh? Well, let me explain it to you. There's nothing you can say, honey, that can make me understand that we need to balance God. Nothing. Look at this. If God's not involved, your Christian life is out of balance. And you will never be fulfilled, and you will never be satisfied, and you will never be completely happy, and you'll never be fully functioning in the kingdom of God, and you'll never walk in the fullness of your anointing if you're going to try to compartmentalize God. God is too big to fit into a box. He's too big to put on your agenda. He's too big to give him a little category over here in your life. He's either God of all or he's not God at all. Come on, say it with me. He's God or he's not. Amen. Amen. And so this is the hard truth that we need to understand. So here's just a few little warnings that I want to give you from an old, seasoned, that some people call wise minister. And that would be, I'm the old one. Don't fall into the trap of categorizing God. He should be involved in everything that you do. Everything that you do. everything. Everything. Come on, look at me. Look at me. Please, let him be involved in everything that you do. You can't hide anything from God. My mother used to look at me, she'd get them big eyes. She'd say, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. You know why she told me that? Because she knew that she couldn't watch me all the time, and she knew I was ornery. And so she would tell me two things. I have an eyeball in the back of my head, and there's an all-seeing eye watching you. So don't fall into the trap of categorizing God. He should be involved in everything that we do. And number two, don't let the devil rob you of God's best for you by reducing your Christian walk to an extracurricular activity. God is more important than your soccer game. God is more important than your baseball game. God is more important than your kids. God is more important than your spouse. God is more important than your friends and your family. If you want to keep your family together, keep them centered around God. So many times people come to me, I don't know why my kids aren't serving God. Well, it's because when you were growing up, you chose to take them to the ball game instead of to church. Come on. Listen to me. The only way that this can get back on track and get corrected, the only way is for somebody to be bold enough to stand up and say it. What do I do when I say, okay, well, it's more important for me. We've got these tournaments and they've got to go and all of this. It's more important for me to do that. Some people hate me when I preach this, but it's just the way that it is. What you're teaching them is that there are a few exceptions to making God a priority in their life. God should be number one. He's more important than your ball game. He's more important than your television show. He's more important than anything that the world has to offer. God is more important. And you do not need to build inside of your children the idea that, well, it's church time. I wonder if we're going to go. Man, when I was growing up, not only did we wonder if we were, we couldn't wait. We couldn't wait. When I was growing up, I'm telling you what, Dad would come home. I remember running alongside of the van as he was coming down the road and getting ready to turn into the driveway. Dad, where can we go to revival tonight? 14 years old, 15 years old, couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get in the house of God. Couldn't wait. Now listen to me very closely. Couldn't wait not only to get in the house of God. My favorite time was at the end of the service when we could all get around the altar and experience God. Couldn't wait to get to the altar. Couldn't wait to listen to the music. Couldn't wait to listen to the preacher. Couldn't wait for revival. Couldn't wait for the move of God. And we've got people today that say, oh, I want to see revival. I want to see the move of God. I want to experience the power of God. I wish my kids could see people come out of wheelchairs and off of stretchers, and I wish that they could experience the supernatural power of God. I wish they could do that. And Sunday rolls around and you got them on the ball field instead of in the house of God. The generation that we're talking about that needs to experience God, we have a generation that's coming up and they're saying, you know what? I'm tired of hearing about it. I want to experience it.
Amen.
I want to see the glory of God. I want to see the power of God. I want to see the presence of God. I want to experience. I want to be like David and say, Lord, I long to be with you and to experience your presence like I used to feel you in the sanctuary. We've got that generation coming up. What's it going to take? It's going to take a daily, consistent, one-on-one, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Consistent, 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 consistent. Making God number one. number one priority in our life. My relationship with God, to me, is more important than my relationship with my wife. It's more important than my relationship with you. It's more important than my relationship with my children. My relationship with God is the thing that I hold the dearest in my life. I would die for God. Wouldn't even think about it. Wouldn't even think about it. How did that happen? He was not allowed to be an extracurricular activity when I was growing up. We were in the house of God. We were in the house of God. What are you saying to me, Pastor? I'm challenging you. Sure that this message has touched different people in different areas. I know it has because I'm your pastor. And I didn't preach it to clobber you, I preached it to challenge you. So my challenge to you is repent and place God back to number one, first priority in your life. First priority in your life. Make Him number one. Only you can do that. I can preach it to you. I can encourage you. Your friends and your neighbors sitting around you today, they can give you testimony after testimony. You can pull up and listen to the testimonies of the old saints. They can talk to you about the move of God and the glory of God and the grace of God and the miracles that used to take place and all of that. And that can create a hunger and a desire. But only you can make the decision, God, I'm going after you with utter abandon. I repent of my old ways. I repent of the spirit of mediocrity that has came into my life. I repent of this lackadaisical spirit. Lord, if there's anything in my life that I worship more than you, would you show me? And when he shows you, because he'll show you some things. We do it and don't even know it. He'll show you some things. And when he does, just repent of it. Don't be in guilt. Don't carry the condemnation. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to do things different. And that's repentance. Repent means to turn and walk in a different direction. Doesn't mean cry. Doesn't mean boo-hoo. It means to make a decision to turn and walk in a different direction. Lord, I'm going to do things different. I'm going to make sure that you're number one in my life. And then my second and last challenge is more of an encouragement than a challenge. And it's this. When we pursue God daily, we can expect to receive from God daily. I said, when we pursue God daily, we can expect to receive from God daily. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7 says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That means he is eager to pardon us. He can be found right now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He can be found right now. Call ye upon him while he's near. He's near right now. Right now. At this moment. I don't know about you, but I can sense the awesomeness of the outward manifestation of his presence as he's beginning to try to move through the sanctuary at this point, at this moment. It's not even noon. And we're sensing the presence of God, the glory of God. And I think what that is that's the pull of God on Lakewood. It's the pull of God on our heart. It's the pull of God on our life saying, yes, 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 I want to be a priority. I want to be number one. Number one, a priority in your life. I'm going to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. I'm feeling prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something and then do absolutely nothing about it. But give me that mic there, Donna, if you would, please. I want us all to stand to our feet. I'm going to have Pastor Josh come up here, and I'm going to have him pray from his generation to God for us. And I want us to open up our spirits and get ready to receive. I want you to know that as he gets through praying, that these altars will be open. I didn't call you forward earlier for personal prayer because I knew we were going to do this at the end of the service. And the altars are going to be open for those who would like to come and kneel. And you can come even as he's praying if you would like. You can come and you can kneel and engage with God. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can come to the altar this morning and you can ask the Lord Jesus to become the Lord of your life, to ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your life. You can do that this morning. If you say, I'm hungry for a move of God, I've seen myself in this message, I've realized that there are some areas that need adjustment and I need an encounter with God to make that happen, then I want to open these altars and let you kneel here and pray or stand around in the altars and pray. So as Pastor Josh is praying, then you can start coming. And then when he gets through praying, then Charles and the team will continue through worship. And together, as a body of believers, let's present ourselves to God today in repentance and reformation, asking God to once again take His rightful place as priority number one in our life. God, I declare a new day. I declare a new day where the people, where your people are so hungry for you. God, a new day where the distractions of life, the distractions of all the things that go on around us, the entertainment, the things that we can do, the things that we can distract ourselves with. God, I'm asking for a new day that you raise up your children, that you raise up your church as a whole, as a body, that we become so thirsty and hungry for righteousness. God, I am asking for a change over this country. God, I am asking for a change in the way that we perceive the people around us. God, I'm asking for such a great hunger for your presence, God, that nothing can quench it, but for you to come. For you to come. God, we are asking for you to show your face. We want to see you move. We want to see your glory, oh God. We want to see the fire from heaven to fall on this place. And we will not stop. We will not stop until we see your glory move. God, come. Come to this place. Fill our hearts with your presence. Fill this church with your love. Come, oh Father. Come, Father. The things of the past are gone. Lord, we look towards a grand future with you. We look towards a future of hope and of a promise that is fulfilled by your word. God, I'm asking that you lead us into a place of such great revival that it changes the entire atmosphere of our entire city, the entire atmosphere of our entire country, of each individual state. God, I'm asking that you raise up the churches throughout this entire country to have such a hunger and thirst for your presence that the world cannot stop and look and say, "This is the God. This is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Elijah, of Moses. This is the Father of Jesus." Get the world's attention through your church, oh God. It's in the mighty, 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 powerful name of Jesus, the Most High God of all, that I pray this morning over this church, over this country, over the destiny that we are walking into as a church. God, get us ready for what you are doing. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Working the Word. For more information, go to our website at www.suncoast4, and that's the number 4, Jesus. pony.tv. You may also write us at 12637 Pony Lane, Hudson, Florida, 34669. Or you may call us at 727-856-1770. Our office hours are Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Thursdays, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And remember, the Word will work if you work the Word.